The message I want to bring to you tonight is, to me, the reason. If I had not understood what I'm going to share with you tonight, we wouldn't have a ministry, we wouldn't have a worldwide outreach, we wouldn't have any victory. Because you cannot have victory in somebody else's life until you have victory in your own life. And there was a certain area in my life that I just could not get the victory over, and it was the thoughts of my mind. It was a struggle that I went through for 13 years and trying so hard. God, I want to think the right thoughts, but you know, our mind just goes wherever it wants to go. Anybody discovered that? We're going to look at that tonight and see why that is and how to overcome it. For 13 years, I tried everything that I knew how. And, you know, I had people lay hands on me and I, you know, bound the devil. I did everything that I knew how, and I just was not able to get the victory in the area of my thought life. And subsequently, everything starts in your thoughts, and then it goes into every other area of your life. And even though I was saved and I was serving God, loving God, doing the work of His kingdom, God was still using me, but I didn't have the personal victory in that particular area. And God actually began to really speak to me through John chapter 8, and we'll put it up as our first scripture tonight, because the scripture says that even though the anointing, somebody can pray for you and God's power and presence can touch you, and that can break the yoke of bondage over your life, but only truth can actually make you free. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him in John 8:31, it'll be up on the screen here, He said, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth." Everybody say the truth. The truth will make you free. So there are certain things that will, the only way you'll get free from whatever bondages or things that you have, it will not happen through, you know, some demonic deliverance. It won't happen through some mighty prayer. It won't happen through somebody laying hands on you. It'll come through a revelation of the truth. And that's what I sought for 13 years. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. And it's a message I preached many, many years ago called Conquering the Sin Nature. But how many of you know that if you're growing in God, revelation is growing in you, and that you can go to a much deeper level than you were maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago? And so we're going to bring forth a message. And this message has really, really touched lives. And I was reminded again last night where a young 11-year-old connected with one of my staff, who's actually the son of one of my staff members. He has heard this message and he's listened to this particular message 17 times. In fact, his father comes in, he's got his iPod on, his earphones at night when he's going to bed, and his dad's like, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm listening to the message. I'm listening to this message on conquering the sin nature." And then last night, that person in my ministry was at a group of other kids of his friends from a Christian school, and they're all struggling with the same thing. And so he called me up in the night and says, "You know, can I come and get another copy of that?" And so he came by my house at about 10 o'clock last night, and I went into the trunk of my car to find another copy, and I realized how many people struggle with this. Last year, a lady who had gotten a copy of this message met me at the back outside in the foyer, and she handed me a note, and when I opened the note, there was a large check inside. And I said, "Well, what's this check for? Why are you giving this to me? There's no reason at all." And she said, "Just read the note." Well, this is what the note said. It said, "A note for Reverend Barron." He says, "I have purchased several of the CDs of Barron's called Conquering the Sin Nature." She said, "That CD has set many people I know free or on the road to freedom. One time I gave a copy to the lady who does my hair, of whom I've been ministering to for several years. Her and her husband have gone through many trials. I felt led to give Barron's CD to her for her husband. My hairdresser put the CD in the car and went home. Her 17-year-old son got in the car and started listening to the CD. He was so changed by it, he made copies for many of his friends at Yucaipa High School. And he continues to use the teaching in the Christian club. He's now going to Cal Baptist and is on fire for God, much due to the teaching from Barron. The check I provided was in part to help pay for all the burned copies of your CD." God bless you. Amen. May God just multiply truth and set everybody free. This message contains four revelations. And when I give you the first one, you're going to say, duh, that's not a great revelation. But stay with me, all right? Stay with me as we go through this. And the very first revelation, when it comes to the sin nature, and the sin nature that all of us struggle with, the first revelation you must understand is that everybody has a sin nature. Everybody does. Whether you're Mother Teresa or Billy Graham, or whether you're Reinhard Bonnke or some great evangelist, whether you're the Pope, it doesn't make a difference who you are. All of us inherited from Adam a propensity to sin. We inherited a nature. We inherited, you know, a flesh nature, the scripture calls it, a sin nature. And we all have it. It doesn't make a difference who you are. I remember being in Nigeria as a missionary back in the early 1990s. And we went to a meeting, and there had been a refugee who had been captured by terrorists in Liberia. Liberia had had the civil war, and they'd had tremendous people had been killed everywhere. And this refugee was a Nigerian who had been across the border, was captured by terrorists, and he was held at gunpoint. And he and a bunch of other people were in a bus. And there were a handful of terrorists who had AK-47 rifles, and they were on the bus. And they were deciding to have some sport. So they basically would choose a person on the bus. They would take them to the side of the bus, and they lined up along the side of the bus, and they just told them to run into the bush. And then as they ran, they would shoot them for sport. And a number of people lost their lives as this happened. And he's sitting on the bus, and he watches one person go by and get shot and get killed. And the next person goes by, and they get shot and get killed. And they're just randomly, and they're laughing, and they're just thinking that this is something fun. And the thumping in his heart is, am I next? And he's just trying so hard not to make eye contact with the main leader who was choosing the people. And as he was sharing this, I mean, I was riveted, and I thought, oh my goodness, what a situation to be in. I'm just glad that he obviously made it, because he's telling the story. But as he was sharing this, he said that the guy stepped back onto the bus to choose another person, and for one moment, he looked into the eyes of this terrorist. And then he made a statement that I'll never forget. He said these words. He said, when I looked into the eyes of that terrorist, he said, I saw what every human being has the potential to become without Christ. And that shocked me. But what he saw was the full manifestation of the sin nature. The Bible says that the sin nature is not something, you know, we dress it up, we cover it over. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is desperately wicked. And this is actually the scripture, Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? That's pretty strong language. Every human heart, every human being has the potential for great evil. And if you put people into the right environment, the whole Lord of the Flies type of scenario, when human beings come into a place where they're desperate, where they're trying to survive, human beings can do. If the sin nature is allowed to come to its full expression, you'll discover the tremendous wickedness that all of us have the potential to manifest. Are you with me, church? Every person has the sin nature. We're born with it. It comes to us when we're born into this world. We're born of the flesh. We're born of the seed of Adam, and we're born with this nature. And the Bible talks about this nature being in us. And it's inherited from Adam. In Romans 8, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, we're dealing here that It's not just affecting our bodies and our emotions and affecting our desires, but most of all, the sin nature affects our minds and our thoughts. And this is what the scripture goes on in Romans 8. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There is a part of all of us that's not subject to God's law. It cannot be. There is a carnal mind, a carnal thought process that will never, ever, voluntarily submit to God. We can try all we like, and we'll get to that in a moment. But the carnal mind, the Bible says, is at enmity with God. And it cannot. It doesn't say it tries and it sometimes succeeds. It says it cannot. It says it's at enmity with God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So it is no way that it can come under God's law. Now, there's another problem that we have as believers, is that, we have some scriptures in the Bible that really, clash with the sin nature. They really clash. And the one that has tripped me up more times than almost all the others is Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus, you see, in the Old Testament, you had to actually commit the sin to be judged for it. Do you remember that? But in the New Testament, Jesus says, if you even look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. So now if you even think about it and you even contemplate it, now the enemy's on your shoulder saying, ha, got you. Now you're a sinner. But we've got to realize, God's not in therapy, because everybody has a sin nature. It's not a surprise to God. God knows its wickedness. He knows exactly what it is, and He knows exactly what we have to deal with as humans. And God has a way for us to conquer it. But we have got to do it God's way. Are you with me, church? So revelation number one is, everybody has a sin nature. It doesn't make a difference who you are, and that sin nature is desperately wicked and needs help. Now, revelation number two. Revelation number two starts with understanding what happens when you give your heart to Jesus Christ. You have to come to a place where you have an understanding that we're born of the flesh. The flesh is the sin nature. But when you come to this altar and when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, the Bible says you were born again. And when you're born again, there is a new creation that happens inside of you. There is something supernatural, something which is beyond all realm of explanation. The Bible says that God creates a new creation, a new creature, a new being, a new entity. And God knew that the only way to get rid of the sin nature was to kill it. And somehow the scripture says that when you accepted Christ, God took the sin nature that was in your life and He killed it. In His eyes, it's dead. You see, I'm married to my wife. I'm under the law of marriage. And the only way for me to get free of that marriage, for some of you may say divorce, for me it's death. Because I married a mother-in-law who's Italian. She told me she didn't believe in divorce, only in murder. So it's death, okay? All the laws of nature, all the laws of gravity, the traffic laws, when you die, they're all dead. You don't get them on the other side. And the only way God knew that He, You see, the law that governs the sin nature is what the Bible calls the law of sin and death. You commit a sin, you die. That was the law that governed it. So God had to kill the sin nature in His eyes. When you accept Jesus, when you ask Jesus into your heart, the Bible says you're born again. A new creation is created. Something supernatural happens inside of you. Not only is there a new creation that happens inside of you when you accept Christ, but God also kills the old man. He kills the sin nature in His eyes. Are you with me? Now, I must give you scripture here. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. There's two verses in here that are incredibly powerful. You see, even though God has killed the sin nature, it seems like the sin nature is still very much alive. Is that true, church? And we still have to deal with it every day. And what God does when He looks at your life and you've accepted Christ is He sees a dead sin nature that in His eyes is not you, and He sees a new living person who wants to serve Him, that loves Him, wants to do what's right. This message is not for people who want a license to sin. This is a message for people that want to serve God and want to go and want to love Him and serve Him and do His will. But God sees two entities. One that's dead in His eyes and that's not you, but He sees a new person who is now joined to His Son, who is now the new creation that wants to serve God. Now, Paul, in the Romans chapter 7, has this incredible war in his mind. He says, what I want to do, I can't do. And what I hate, that's what I do. He says, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And he is so frustrated with trying to live a Christian life. And he makes two statements in this scripture that are so powerful. Verse 14. He says, we know that the law is spiritual. I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. What I'm doing, I don't understand. What I will to do, I don't practice. What I hate, that I do. If then I do what I don't want to do, or I will not to do, I agree with the law that it's good. Now, verse 17, he says, but now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Again in verse 20, he says, now if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He makes a differentiation between him and sin in him. He says, it's not me that's doing it. It's the sin nature in me. Now, this is revelation number two. The sin nature in you, in God's eyes, is not you. The sin nature in you, in God's eyes, is not you. Paul twice says, it's not me that's doing it. It's the sin nature in me. Now, the greatest lie of Satan is to convince you that the sin nature in you is you. Because if he can convince you that the sin nature in you is you, you're in prison. But if you understand that the sin nature in you, in God's eyes, is dead and is not you, it changes the whole playing field. All right, I'm going to prove this to you from Scripture. Are you with me, church? What he's telling the church now is, and we'll look at Romans 6, verse 11. He says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul is saying, in God's eyes, it's not you, but you have to start thinking of yourself as the sin nature not being you. You've got to realize that in God's eyes, it's dead. Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God. You have to change your thinking, because if you accept the lie of Satan that the sin nature in you is you, you're going to have a war in your hands that you will never win. Many years ago, the great escape artist Houdini, many of you may know of his life and his legacy. He actually was able to get out of every single chain, every single prison cell, every single lock that they ever put on him. They dumped him in rivers. They put him over waterfalls. They did. You can name the things that he was able to escape from. There's only one door that he could never get free from. It was a prison cell in southern Italy. And he worked for about 3 hours to try and unpick the lock. And he finally just gave up. And he said, okay, this is the first lock I cannot get. I can't break free. And the reason was because the lock was already open. It was never locked. The only place that it was locked was in his mind. You see, if the enemy can get you to think that the door's locked and you can't get out, he's got you. Are you with me? The door is open. So revelation number two is that the sin nature in you, in God's eyes, is not you. It's dead. And the Bible says you've got to reckon yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God. In Colossians 3:3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He's speaking to alive believers. He's not speaking to people on the other side of death. He said, you died and your life is hid with God, with Christ in God. When you accept Jesus, the sin nature died in God's eyes. Now, the existence of the sin nature in your life is not sin to God. We all got it. We got it from Adam. We all have the sin nature. God's not in therapy over the sin nature. He killed it, so it's removed from the equation. The existence of the sin nature is not sin to God. But yielding to the sin nature is sin to God. Are you with me? I'm going to give you a practical scenario. You're worshiping God here at church. And while you're worshiping God, and this has happened countless times to me in many churches around the world, as you're worshiping, trying to focus on Jesus and the heavenlies and the angels and God on His throne, suddenly an ungodly image comes across your mind. And you're like, oh my Lord, I'm in church. I shouldn't be thinking about that. Maybe it's a pornographic image that had somehow imprinted in your mind years ago, or maybe you see another girl in church and you begin to think wrong thoughts, or whatever it may be, that sin nature begins to rise up. Now, this is the natural reaction of almost all of us. We say, okay, God, hold on one moment there. Just hold the worship there, Lord. God, I just got to deal with this. One moment, I'll be right back. And then we begin a process of trying to cast down the thoughts and the imaginations, and we bind the devil and we throw scripture in it, and we do everything we know how, but we discover something that the more we try not to think about it, the more we think about it. You see, because our flesh nature is under the law of sin and death. So if I said to you all as a crowd, whatever you do now, do not look at that screen over there. About 90% of you look and see the screen. We want to see it because our flesh nature wants to do what you tell it not to do. And that is the situation. is that we now are facing a scenario where that sin nature rises up, and we're trying to know how to deal with it, and we're embarrassed for it. And then the devil sits on our shoulder and says, huh, you think you're even saved? Do you think God even allows thoughts like that in heaven? Do you think Jesus even, you're asking the Lord for forgiveness, and you are, you know, you're going through the whole Hail Mary or whatever you do to get rid of that, or asking for the blood of Jesus to wash you, or whatever it is that you've learned to try and get rid of that, but you find that you're not conquering it. And so you're submitted to God. And by the time you now come back to the worship song, Pastor Jim's halfway through his message. Because you lost whatever worship they were in while you were fighting the thoughts of your mind. So this brings me to Revelation number 3. Revelation number 1, we all have a sin nature. Number 2, the sin nature in you, in God's eyes, is not you. Number 3, you cannot, through your own trying, and you'll never be able to conquer the sin nature through your own trying. This is where Christians go very wrong. Because we hear the Word of God preached to us. And Pastor Jim talks about whatever's pure and holy, think on these things. And we come to church and we're taught we must love our neighbor. We must care for the poor. And we must, you know, we have all these things thrown at us. And the more that the Word of God and the standard of God's Word comes against the sin nature, what the Word of God does is reveal and expose the sin nature. And so the more you come to church, that many Christians, they come to a place in their walk with God where, you know, they've come to church more and more and they're trying to get closer and closer to God, and it's getting more and more difficult in their walk because they're trying so hard to love and to care and to think right things and to do what is right and to get up in the morning and pray, and they're trying so hard to conform to what they know God's Word says. But the Bible says that the harder you try, the more God lifts His hand away from you. And the more that you try to do what's right and to do all the things that you're supposed to, you'll find that the more difficult your walk with God will become. And there's one major reason. It's because God will not give His glory to you. Because if you could somehow conquer that sin nature with your own strength and with your own trying and your own ability and your own effort, God would not get any glory. You'd be able to say, God, I conquered it. I took authority. I bound the enemy. I'm a great believer. I'm a Christian. You know what? You can ask Pastor Jim and myself, none of us are anything without Jesus. Amen? None of us. And you have to reach a place in your walk with God where you realize you cannot do it by yourself. And what God does as you go through that season in your Christian walk is the more you try, the more you try and do His will, and the more you try and think right thoughts, and the more you try and do good works, the more God lifts His hands away so that you purposely fail. Because God's not going to give His glory to you. He will not. Are you with me? You cannot conquer the flesh with the flesh. Isaiah 42:8, my glory I will not give to another. Romans 8:2, it says, therefore, brethren, we are dead as not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. And Galatians 2, the whole book of Galatians, when you got saved and you came to the altar and gave your heart to Jesus, God cleansed you and washed you and He made you a new creation. You didn't do one thing to deserve it. Not a single thing. You walked the aisle, you opened your heart, and Jesus blessed you, loved you, and He recreated you. There was nobody else involved. You didn't have anything other than accepting Jesus. And there is nothing that's going to make you more righteous before God in the entire history of your life or in all eternity than the blood of Jesus and what He did on the cross for you. Nothing else. Amen? So when you start taking the reins of the perfecting of your life by trying and getting, you know, just you thinking that you're quite a righteous Christian, you're trying to, you know, that's what happens to many churches. They become legalistic and they become full of rules and laws, and they become just like the Old Testament law. Because what they start in the spirit, they try and end in the flesh. When you came and gave your heart to Jesus, that was the beginning. And the Bible says you have to continue that trusting and that believing for the rest until Jesus comes. If you want to finish this journey, you have to have a revelation that by the flesh and by your own trying, you will never be able to conquer the sin nature. Amen? In Galatians 2, knowing that a man's not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ, Jesus Christ. Even when we've believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. By the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. In Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You cannot take that process that began here by the Holy Spirit and try and make it happen. Do not try and make yourself a perfect Christian. You will never succeed. I tried for 13 years. This message is not coming because I went to a Bible college or I heard. I lived and breathed and tried. I tried day and night. God, help me to understand, to conquer the thoughts of my mind. How do I do it? This message came out of a lot of pain. So, revelation number one, we all have a sin nature. Are you with me? Revelation number two, the sin nature in God's eyes is not you. It's in you, but it's not you. Revelation 3, you will never conquer that sin nature by your own efforts and by your own trying. You can forget it. It will never happen. And you'll become a frustrated believer, and you will go back into the works of the flesh, and you will become defeated in your walk with God. So Revelation number 4, which is our last one here. Zechariah 4 verse 6, God says, speaking about the New Testament church, it's not by might, it's nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The only way that you'll perfect your walk with Christ is by learning to yield to the Holy Spirit. This is the most difficult thing that you'll ever encounter, and it's also, once you learn it, will give you the greatest victory. Romans 8, verse 13 and 14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, everybody say, by the Spirit,
by the Spirit,
you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. All right, let's go back to our example here. You're worshiping God. And as you lift it up and you're caught up in the heavenlies and you're singing like an angel, suddenly the ungodly thought comes across your mind. This can happen at any time, any place. And when that happens, instead of allowing condemnation and letting the enemy to sit on your shoulder and say, oh, you've thought about that, look at you, how can you even call yourself a Christian? This is your response to the devil, and this is your response to the flesh. Say, God, I thank you that your presence and your word is revealing the sin nature. I thank you that the sin nature is not me in your eyes. The real me is this one that wants to worship you. I thank you that that's not me. That's the sin nature in me. And Father, I thank you so much that your Holy Spirit's my partner in putting it to death. I thank you that you're not in therapy over me having this problem. Amen? And you start to partner with the Holy Spirit. The only reason that God allows the sin nature to manifest is so that you can partner with the Holy Spirit. But you see, there's no condemnation because it's not you. It's the sin nature in you. It's not you in God's eyes. You can say to God, now the enemy's going to say, it is you, look at you. You say, sorry, devil. God put that to death when I accepted him on the cross. So the sin nature in me is not me in God's eyes. Amen? And you begin to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And you say to God, you say, God, you know what? I've tried to defeat that for years and years. And you know what? I can't do it by myself. I'm not going to try anymore. I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to partner with you. And God, you know what? I'll give you all the glory. Because I know in my own strength, I will never conquer that. I'll never conquer those lusts. I'll never conquer those thoughts. I'll never conquer all of those things that have plagued me all these years. But Holy Spirit, I'm going to work with you. And I thank you, God. The Bible says there's no condemnation. You see, at the end of Romans 7, Paul ends and says, who will deliver me from this body of death? He picks up in Romans 8, verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Everybody say, no condemnation.
No condemnation.
There's no condemnation because it's not you. It's the sin nature in you. Now, this doesn't give you a license to sin, but you know what? Well, whatever you sin, it's only the sin nature. You just immediately partner with God to conquer it. Because whether the sin nature does anything makes no difference. The only thing that makes you righteous before God is the blood of Jesus. Plus nothing. Amen? So there's no condemnation. What does it say? There's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, in verse 2, it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, the law that the old sin nature was under was the law of sin and death. You sin, you pay the penalty. And that's what the enemy tries to resuscitate. He's trying to bring that back up. You know, you sin, you're going to be punished for it. No. Bible says God killed the old man, setting the old man free from that law. And he created a new man and created a new law. And this new law is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus simply says, God, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. God, if I by the Spirit put to death the works of the flesh, I'll live. God, I'll give you all the glory. Holy Spirit, I ask you to take care of it. I thank you that you don't condemn me. I thank you that you're not in therapy over my sin nature. I thank you that we all got it. Every one of us has it. And so we're all there before you. But God, I thank you that you want to partner with me. And when the Word of God is preached and Pastor Jim brings forth the Word, you can never implement the Word that he teaches by your own strength. You can try all your life, but you'll be defeated. You can make a New Year's resolution and by January 4th, you are in trouble. You know what I'm talking about. The flesh will never defeat the sin nature. You have to move into the law of Spirit of life. There's no condemnation in that law. And once your mind is free, there's no thought that can bother you. There's none. Because the real you is the one that loves God. The real you is the one that wants to serve Him. The real you is the one that wants to have victory. The real you is the one who wants to fulfill His will. And you want to ask why we have a ministry that touches the whole world. It goes back to this one simple message. Because once I became free in my own mind, I'm like, Lord, now you can do what you want in my life. I got personal victory. I only have personal victory because I understood truth. The Bible says, the truth shall make you free. The Houdini doors open, amen? There's no condemnation. And so, as we close it out, I want to go to 2 Corinthians verse 10. Like I said before, this does not give you a license to sin. The existence of the sin nature in you is not sin to God. Yielding to the sin nature is sin. If you now have freedom and there's no condemnation to you, but you still decide to pursue sin, now you're in a different story. Now you're in a whole other category. When you know you don't have to, and you know that God's not condemning you for it, but you still choose to participate, now you need to have repentance and come back to the Lord. But if your heart is continually wanting to partner with the Holy Spirit, now the most difficult part of this message is learning to break that old pattern, is learning to reckon yourself dead to sin, is learning to think of the old sin nature as being dead. I wish I could just lay hands on you and make that happen. But it's something that you learn to do. It's something that you start, that revelation gets stronger and stronger in you. And that's why I don't have a problem. If you've heard this message before, you need to hear it. And that's why that kid listened 17 times, because he's trying to get it into his spirit to change his patterns of thinking, because we're so used to the law of sin and death. We're so used to the old pattern of thinking. And that's the way we grow up from when we're a child. But God wants to begin to change that and give us a new paradigm, a new way of thinking, a new understanding. And so this last scripture here in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 10. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I've heard that scripture so many times, and people say, well, just cast down the imagination. No. Weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Everybody say, through God. Only through God. If you by the Spirit put to death the works of the flesh, you'll live. We have to learn through God to put to death the works of the flesh, and we will live. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen.